With me in the studio this morning are both Mayor Larry Carlson and City Administrator Mike Roth. We did have a city council meeting last night, but we're going to start talking about some other things that are talking about on the internet right now about the sale of 20 acres along the Gunflint Trail for a zip line project. Now, it's drawn a lot of comment on Boreal's e-democracy forum, some positive, most negative. So let's start talking about it and see what the public questions that the public has on this. But before that, welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Jay.
Yeah, thank you.
So first, let's, I guess the first question for me anyway is, is the sale final? Has the sale actually been made?
Well, we have a signed purchase agreement. There hasn't been a closing yet.
Okay. So a closing is just like any other real estate closing?
That's right.
Okay. So what's the city selling it for?
$75,000.
And what's the appraised value?
I can't tell you that.
Okay. Now, maybe you want to explain why you can't tell me that.
Appraisals that are done on property that the city's considering for sale is something that's classified as private data by the state. So it's up to the city council whether they want to release that information. And to this point, they have not released that information.
Can they release it beforehand, or do they have to wait until the deal's complete?
They can decide to release it whenever they would like to, okay. Although it doesn't seem to make any sense to me to release it before you're done negotiating for price.
So the 20 acres, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. What's the specified use? I mean, what's going to be in the contract?
In the contract?
What's been approved as the use of the land?
Well, nothing yet. What the proposed use is a zip line. Mm-hmm. Developer will have to come back for a conditional use permit to get approval to do that, however.
So the developer buys the land. The developer, we're speaking of Matt Gerritschlager. So what the developer does is he buys the property and then comes back for a conditional use permit.
That's right.
So you're selling property without necessarily knowing what it's going to be used for.
Well, I think everybody knows what he intends to use it for. Maybe you want to...
Well, it's my understanding that the zip line is an approved use for that C1 designation. That, I guess, it's not a C1 designation yet. It doesn't have any designation.
Yeah. The recreation commercially zoned property that's up on the old ski hill is the only zone in the city that a zip line would fit into. Mm-hmm. Something that we discovered earlier in the year when he proposed to build one in the west end of town.
Now, okay, so the presumed use is a zip line. One of the questions that's been asked by people concerned about this is that can that use be changed or altered? And if so, what kind of process does that take?
Yeah, if he decides that the zip line's not what he wants to do, he would need to get a conditional use permit to do anything other than a passive recreational area on the property.
Passive means no building?
Right.
Okay. So that would what kind of public process is that? That going to the Planning Commission again?
Right. Or? A conditional use permit is one of those 6 to 8 weeks where you apply, we publish hearing notice and mail it to the neighbors, and the Planning Commission holds a public hearing, and then their recommendation moves on to the City Council.
So it's the use that draws the public that 5 or 6 weeks, whatever you said. Mm-hmm. Input period, not necessarily the sale.
That's right.
Okay, now the biggest concern seems to be that the sale was not open and public as it could be, that seems to be on people's minds. Is what's the city obligated to do, and when did they do it?
Sounds like Watergate.
The Fifth Amendment does not apply in this Studio A.
Well, a lot of the questions that the councilors had about that, what is our required process here, were addressed by the city attorney early on when Matt made his request, and there is no public hearing requirement for the sale of city-owned property. It's just as simple as it happened. Someone can come in and say, I'd like to buy that piece of property. The city council goes through some process to decide what it's worth and whether they're willing to sell it, and then they can offer it for sale.
On the other hand, it was, printed in the paper and everything, asking for public input, and, we had... public input on the first site that was proposed.
This was the site that was west of where this studio is right now.
Right. Okay. And that was defeated by the council figuring it didn't fit in there at all and was going to impact some of the residents down there. Mm-hmm. And so that public hearing and input phase took place, and it was subsequently then defeated. And so then Mr. Gerschlager came back with the new proposal, which was then passed.
Mm-hmm. Another question that seems to have arisen, is there a conflict of interest between the city and the buyer?
No.
Oh, that's short. Let's
yes or no question,
let's
right?
explain that a little bit further.
The EDA, the Cook County Grand Marais EDA, is its own separate entity. It has its own board. It has its own budget. It doesn't take direction from the city. It does not receive funding from the city. Matt is not an employee of the city. There's no conflict of interest there.
Okay. So, been any recent interest in developing that property other than the current case? Now, I can remember over 20 years ago when we were moving up here, there was a lot of talk about the use of that ski hill property for condominium developments and stuff like this. And then I don't recall anything. Has there been anything of record?
I would say, let's be real careful here. The piece of property that we sold to Mr. Gerschlager is not the ski hill. We're not talking about the ski hill. The ski hill is still there, doing nothing, but there's no impact on the ski hill at all. Okay. And let's keep that separate.
Yeah, that seems to be a matter of confusion, because a lot of people are referring to it as the ski hill right. area, and they also referring to the adjacent 600 acres and access to it. Is there any reason why that would be blocked by a sale like this?
But not at all. And so if people aren't familiar with the property we're talking about, maybe we should start with that.
Go ahead.
Drive up the Gunflint Trail. You make the turn as you're passing the water tower. The property that's on your left after the water tower is the property we're talking about. There's a 40-acre square that's cut into two triangles by the Gunflint Trail, and the lower triangle are where the stormwater ponds are located. The upper triangle is the piece of property that we're talking about.
Okay, and so what is there? I mean, there's laws about access to property. I mean, if somebody owns a piece of property and there's property behind it, they have to have access to it, do they not?
This piece is east of the rest of the property that we own. And I don't know why it would be used as access for it at all. It's really very steep. Mm-hmm. And the much better access to the rest of the ski hill property is by the truck runoff, what we're currently using to access the property.
Yeah, that truck runoff, and that's used to be where the burning
right.
pit was. Okay. So another question has been, why wasn't it put up for auction?
Like Mike said, if the city is going to sell a piece of property, they don't have to do anything other than sell it for a fair price.
And I don't think it was for sale in the sense that it was listed in where the city council was looking for best offers. Mm-hmm. This was more of a reaction to an idea than we want to look for somebody who wants to buy this property.
So in other words, just because the city has a piece of property doesn't mean that it's open for sale. Somebody's got to come and ask for it. Okay. And auction is not necessary, or?
No, one of the things that they liked about this transaction was what he intends to do with it, mm-hmm. and that there's a comfort level with that. And an auction would imply that we're open to all takers, and I don't think that's true.
So somebody could buy a piece of property on auction without actually having a plan for it. They could just be there when the hammer falls.
Right.
When we're talking about the legal procedure that was taken, that's a state-mandated procedure as opposed to a city. The idea of putting a piece of city property up for sale, or not putting it up for sale, but I mean having somebody approach the city, that's governed by what, city ordinance or by state?
Yeah, state statute talks about all those things. We don't have any city ordinances or policies in regards to selling property.
One person has asked the question, is there a comprehensive plan use for the rest of the acres that adjoin that property? Well, that would be the acreage above it.
And when I got here 11 years ago, that was just the tail end of that old ski hill discussion that you referred to earlier, that ended up with a plan of sorts that does address the entirety of the property in a pretty loose way, anyway. I wouldn't say there's a comprehensive plan that shows where roads are going to go and buildings and everything else, but it does talk about the types of uses that people want to see up there that match in with that recreation commercial zoning. With some sort of low-impact recreational-style use on the property, at least on the hillside of the property.
There's also been some discussion, and I don't know if there's anything you can say about this, but some people have said, well, okay, the sale might have been legal, but it didn't seem to be very fair, and it seemed to be kind of underhanded. And
I think I want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
We're talking about we can't disclose the part of the assessment or appraisal. The council in open meeting agreed to sell that piece of property for the fair market appraisal. And as you just heard, it was sold for $75,000. Now, Mr. Gertschlager paid for that appraisal. It's his. But in the public record, the council did agree to sell it for the fair appraised value.
Well, he hasn't paid for it yet, of course. He has to reimburse us for it. We hired the appraiser, John Vegan, out of Duluth.
Mm-hmm. Now, on a timeline basis, when it's paid for, then it's his property, and then he comes back to the Planning Commission and goes through the process of getting a conditional use permit.
That's right.
Okay. So let's follow on. What's the remainder of this process? I mean, walk me through that. The City Council has agreed to sell the property to Mr. Gertschlager for $75,000. He pays the $75,000, or however you make those arrangements, and then he comes back to the Planning Commission and says, applies for a conditional use permit. What happens after that?
Well, there's some things that happen before that, too,
okay,
on his
ahead.
End. He has a lot of work to do to prepare a plan to the point that it can be evaluated by the Planning Commission and the City Council.
So he just doesn't come and tell him what he's going to do. He's got to have...
He needs to, do a lot of work with engineering and architectural to understand the property enough to come in with a detailed plan that says this is where everything's going to go, this is what the buildings are going to look like. Those are the kinds of things that the city is going to need to see in order to evaluate a conditional use permit for the property.
So the only way the city can know what's going on is if they're looking at specifics. They don't,
right.
It's not a blanket deal.
Right.
Okay. And so what's the timetable? When do you expect a final sale, and when do you expect the rest of this to take place? Is there any time limit on how long Mr. Gertschlager has to develop these plans?
Well, with the final sale, the closing date wasn't set when we signed the purchase agreement. We wanted to close whenever the purchaser was ready. But it was up to him to make sure that there was clean title to the property that he was satisfied with before we were going to do the sale. And my understanding is that he's done that, so I think the closing could happen any time now.
This always been city property?
I don't believe so. No.
What was it, annexed, or how does the city acquire property?
I don't know how the city acquired this property. I mean, it wasn't city owned when the ski hill was operating on it, I don't believe. So, you know, this is adjacent to that piece, and I wouldn't be surprised if we acquired it at the same time.
So, finally, any other hearings that will take place on this would be taking place at this point at planning and zoning.
That's hearings. Right.
And then after the planning and zoning meetings, hear from the public and make their decision and see that it's a conforming use to commercial recreational uses. Then they bring it to the city council.
Yes.
And then the city council signs off on it.
Well, they get
or not.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to a couple other things that were going on at the Grand Marais City Council meeting. The Uptown Grand Marais preliminary plat, that is property, in case people don't know, up here in Uptown Grand Marais, right next to us at the Gateway Lodge area.
And that plat discussion has been in the works for quite some time, and now the Planning and Zoning Commission has told the people what they needed, and with that they came to the council last night with all of that in place, and the council gave them preliminary approval for that plat.
And preliminary approval means what?
There has to be a reading or...
The preliminary plat's approved. That gives them an opportunity to go back and develop, again, some more specific stuff. We'll need to see a landowner's agreement dealing with maintenance of roads and dealing with stormwater. We'll need to see a developer's agreement with the city spelling out what infrastructure that they will be building. Those sorts of things that it's not really fair to ask a developer to spend a lot of money developing those specifics before they know that the concept is approved. So this preliminary plat says this is where the lines are going to go. Before they're able to sell those lots, they're going to have to come back with all the details.
So what you've approved is, as you said, a conceptual idea of what it's going to be. Now they got to go back and cross the T's and dot the I's.
Right.
And I know, Mayor, that you're anxious to talk about the animal ordinance update.
Yeah, it's way better than talking about the zip line. Well, after going through with a fine-tooth comb, we found some areas of the new proposed animal ordinance that needed to be addressed. We thought it was pretty ridiculous to have an ordinance saying that you could only have three fish. Like, if anybody got an aquarium with only three guppies in it. So we removed that restriction. And gerbils and hamsters and stuff like that, if they're in a cage, you could have more than three. We're getting this under control really well now, so you can rest assured.
Yeah. I'm particularly happy that we can now sell eggs in the city of Grand Marais. The important stuff is important. And speaking of other important stuff, apparently we can now talk a little bit about the thing we haven't been able to talk about, and that is the city and Burbach Aquatics and the swimming pool. Where do we stand on that?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we met in closed session with our attorneys and arrived at a kind of a thumbnail sketch on what we were willing to do, and we got that back yesterday and approved that, and it's a resolution authorizing legal counsel to file an action for declaratory judgment against Burbach Aquatics, Inc. And so now our attorneys are going to make that filing and see if we can be held then okay from that formal
contract. So this formally gets the ball rolling.
Right.
Okay. Well, finally, Older Americans Month. There's a couple of us in the studio that qualify.
Yeah. And so just a reminder to all of you that May is Older Americans Month, and there are activities going on at the Care Center and at the Senior Center. You can find those at Boreal and on the newspaper.
Okay. We've been speaking with Mayor Larry Carlson and City Administrator Mike Roth. Thank you both for taking time to come in, clarify a few issues, and bring us up to date on what's going on in the city of Grand Marais.
Thank you.
Until next time.